Well, it's good to see you this evening, and once again, how thankful we are that we have the privilege to be able to meet together, that the Lord would allow us this blessed honor to come together and hear His gospel. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nahum. Find Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and start going back toward Genesis about five books, if my memory serves me correctly. And you should find the book of Nahum. I would like to read the first seven verses of the first chapter. Nahum chapter 1. Verse 1, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening we call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, oh, for the blessed privilege that we have to be able to assemble ourselves together. We pray that you would bless the word, bless our hearing, bless the preaching. Help us, Lord, to worship. We are needy people, frail. Lord, forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. In our Lord Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer in the book of John chapter 17, our Lord praying unto his Father said this, and this is life eternal, that they, that is all that the Father gave the Son in electing grace. The Father chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to the Son, and the Son is praying for them. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now this evening, I'd like for us, just for a few minutes, to hear what God Almighty has to say concerning himself. Who he is. Who he has set forth himself to be. Now listen, we're going to stand before God. I was thinking this afternoon on this message, and I thought to myself, I know I see through a glass darkly. I know that I know in part, I know I prophesy in part. I don't know all things, and you don't either. But if I knew what was on the other side in fullness, I'm sure it would be more than I could handle. I know that it would absolutely cause the seriousness of what we're doing here tonight to be so elevated. If men and women knew what they faced without a substitute, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us this evening. First seven verses, Nahum chapter 1. This is a book that was written. The scripture begins and it says in verse 1, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Now, Nahum means consolation. Consolation. Almighty God is getting ready to set forth Himself as being the just and holy God. He's going to set forth His attributes in absolute justice. And the Spirit of God moved upon Nahum to begin this book by saying, the burden of Nineveh. This prophecy, like every calling of God's preachers, and the Lord calls preachers to preach the gospel, and every preacher that God calls, preaches the message of God's sovereign grace. Every preacher that God calls preaches the gospel of electing, particular, redeeming, irresistible grace in calling and preserving of God's elect. And it's a burden, the burden of Nineveh. This is a heavy calling. God Almighty gives a man a heart to preach a message. And I know this. Nahum was sent to preach to Nineveh 150 years before this time right here, according to the commentaries that I read. 150 years before this, Jonah had come to this place, had preached to Nineveh, and Scripture says, and they repented for a while. And now, God's going to send another prophet because they've fallen back into the same, if not worse, acts of rebellion before the Lord. And so, Nahum knows that he's going to be preaching to some people that God's going to judge. I look out and week in, week out, there's many people that I have some confidence in. Some I don't know. Lord does. God knows His people. He knows that He's those that He's everlastingly loved. He knows His elect in mercy and grace. But there's some. The Scripture says there's tares among the wheat. And I know that I'm going to be preaching to some people that very possibly don't know God. And they're going to leave this world. Unless Almighty God is pleased to show mercy to them and give them a new heart and call them out of darkness by grace and power according to His everlasting covenant and mercy, they're going to leave this world without a mediator. And that's a burden. The burden of Nineveh. Who's sufficient for these things? Paul the Apostle, the one that the Spirit of God used to pen so much of the New Testament. Paul the Apostle, who wrote under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the book of Ephesians. That blessed book that we been looking at over the last few Wednesdays, but that precious book that sets forth so clearly God's sovereign, electing, predestinating grace. Paul the Apostle that was taught, God Almighty is going to have mercy on whom He's going to have mercy. He's going to have compassion on whom He's going to have compassion. And Paul was taught that by the Spirit of God. And you, many of you know that. You know that. But listen to these words. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. People say, well, you know, you people that believe sovereign grace, you know, you've got just a certain amount that you say can be saved and you exclude everybody else. My friend, we don't exclude anybody. We proclaim that God Almighty is going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. And I know this is the gospel that He's going to bless to the salvation and calling out of His elect. I know that. I got some folks I preach to. I got people in my family that I'm convinced don't know God. I pray God have mercy. If He's pleased to do so, He will. But if He's pleased to leave them to themselves, He's right. Right. Those that Paul preached to, he hated. They hated him. He preached to people that hated him because of what he preached. And he prayed for him and prayed that God have mercy on him. Nahum says in verse 2, God is jealous. Now that word jealous there, it means jealous, lovingly jealous. Or it also means angry. And in this case right here, it very surely means angry. It says, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. Almighty God is jealous. He's jealous of His honor, of His glory, of His worship. And He's not going to give that honor and glory to another. Man tries to usurp the honor that's due to Almighty God by claiming that he himself has the right. Man thinks that he has the last say in salvation, and God is jealous. Jealous of his honor. He's a merciful God. And I'll tell you concerning the mercy of Almighty God, he's not going to allow his elect to perish. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what God's going to do? He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. All that He's everlastingly loved in Christ, He's going to give them a new heart. He's going to reveal Himself to them. And they're going to be willing in the day of His power. Willing to love, willing to come, willing to hear. Willing to bow. You that know Him. You love willingly our precious Savior. But you know that He was the one that gave you a will to love Him. You called on Him because He called on you first. You love Him because He loved you first. You come to Him because He came to you in mercy. Caused you to be under the gospel. But all left to themselves. All that want to give all the glory and honor to themselves in salvation. Scripture says the Lord God is jealous. And the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. Now, that word furious there is a very revealing word concerning God's power, His omnipotence. Actually, what it means is, where it says that He revengeth and is furious, it's He is the master of wrath. Meaning He controls it. He controls His wrath. I can't. You can't either. I don't have any control. You know, people might say, well, I can control my emotions. No, you can't. No, you don't. I'm telling you, somebody crossed your path and it aggravates you, and I'm telling you, your emotions will flare up. I don't have any restraint on myself. God does. He is furious. He's a master of wrath. He restrains wrath. He longs suffering to usward, his people, not willing that any of his people should perish. Long suffering. How long did Almighty God restrain wrath to your family, to your ancestors? On and on and on. How long did he withhold his wrath and anger and fury that you might be born, brought you into the world? Almighty God is furious, master. We're creatures of passion. But the Lord, the scripture says, verse 2, latter part, will take vengeance. Notice that? He will. He will take vengeance on his adversaries and reserveth wrath for his enemies. But I want you to notice something. If your Bible has got the italicized word there on that, he reserveth the, and you notice the word wrath is in italics there. Okay, it means it was added. There's really no word to describe what God Almighty is going to do to his adversaries. It reads like this: the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, not in haste to execute it, slow to anger, and great in power. The great in power is what gives credit to him being slow in anger. And imagine that Almighty God, who reserves wrath for the day of judgment, beholding all of the rebellion against him, the disrespect, the claims of men to for honor that's due only him, slow to anger, great in power. But the scripture sets forth, he will not at all acquit the wicked. Write this down. He's not going to clear the guilty. This is the blessed truth that was set forth in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, the Father, hath made him, the Son, sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As I've said before, I know, this side of glory, we will not be able to enter into the depth of that thought. But hanging upon that tree was our precious, holy Savior. He who knew no sin personally made sin. And God Almighty dealt with him in the stead of his elect. He laid down his life for the sheep. So God Almighty did not at all acquit. He dealt with the substitute. He dealt with sin. He dealt with the sin of his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not clear. He didn't sweep it under the rug. Latter part of verse 3 says, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and in the clouds of the dust of his feet. And I know that where we're talking, the clouds are the dust of his feet. That's a metaphor speaking of his omnipotence, his omnipresence. You see the cloud, you think about this scripture, this dust of his feet. He does as his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. No man stays his hand. As his way in the whirlwind, in the storm. Every once in a while, you watch the news, talk about maybe the tornado alley. And, we got a, category 2, category 4 tornado. And it just looks, it just cuts a path, it may lift up. I had one experience, actually, with a tornado. And it was a horrendous storm. Hail just beating down. But I mean, I'd always heard people talking about a tornado sounding like a freight train. And I had a whoo kind of sound in my mind. And that wasn't the sound I heard. It was a whoo, that kind of sound. And I could hear it. And it was louder and louder and louder. And I knew what it was. And all of a sudden, it quit. It just stopped. And I went out the next morning, and we lived in a trailer. We were in a trailer court. And I'm telling you, that trailer right there was hit. And that one right there was hit. And it just lifted for a moment. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. It's not haphazard. Almighty God rules everything that moves at his command. He rebuketh the sea. When his people came out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, there was the passageway. There's a picture. I've told you this. There's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ at Red Sea. And the scripture says that a mighty wind blew all night and parted that sea. And the nation of Israel walked across on dry ground. Egyptians followed, and God closed in and had vengeance on the Egyptians, but his people were delivered through that Red Sea. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, drieth up the rivers. When the nation of Israel came to the river Jordan, when the feet of those priests touched that river, that water just backed up. There it is. They walked across. The priest stayed right there. Everybody went across. When the priest got out, when their feet got out of the water came back. He maketh it dry. Dry up the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. Bashan was a place I found of rich pastures, just lush pastures. And Carmel, great vineyards, great mighty vineyards. And the flower of Lebanon, known for the great cedars of Lebanon. They languisheth. That is, the fertility of this world is absolutely consumed by his presence if he withholds life, if he withholds mercy, even to the earth, it's nothing. You think, well, it just, it'll always grow. I'm telling you, coming into another season right here, the only reason those trees are budding out there is because God Almighty has permitted it. God spoke. God moved. God keeps, sustains. The mountains quake at him. The hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. All nature trembles beneath him. This world has respect for God Almighty, that a dead sinner, a spiritually dead sinner, has no respect for, no fear for. This earth moves at his presence, his look. Listen to this. Psalm 104:32. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. You know, I read a passage like this and I think, who is a God like unto you? We think so far below that which we ought to think concerning Him. Who can stand, verse 6, before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. Who possibly could stand before fury like this? I mean, when you think about it, look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. We've read this before concerning the arrogance of man, the arrogance of fallen creatures. Psalm 2, verses 2 to 5. Well, let's just read 1 to 5. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing, empty, just empty thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Almighty God rules. He's jealous. He's fierce. He's angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. God's just, and He's going to do right. Psalm 119:137 says, righteousness art Thou, O Lord, and upright are Thy judgments. Now all of these truths concerning God's judgment, God's anger, God's jealousy, God's fierceness against sin. God Almighty is going to deal with man's rebellion. And knowing the one that is jealous and long-suffering and omnipotent and just and sovereign, knowing that He has satisfied all the demands for justice against His people in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says in verse 7, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. I used part of this illustration a few weeks ago. I was telling you about my buddy in Franklin, Tennessee, that went to the courtroom. Remember that? I'll never forget the demeanor of the judge. All of those people. I stopped in my illustration with you last time. I was talking about that woman that was, she was pregnant. She had 15 counts of hot checks. She'd been there before. Tried to tell the judge, you know, she'd had problems with the baby. And the judge says, 5 o'clock, if all 15 checks are not picked up at 5 o'clock, you'll be in my jail tonight. Well, the rest of the story, my buddy, and everybody else, not one person before my buddy, J. Bird Beasley, not one person before his name was called on that docket had a lawyer. Not one. Everybody was going to represent themselves. And I think the judge got madder and madder because they all thought that they were going to be able to answer for themselves before her. And I mean to tell you, I was scared. And I wasn't even there. I was just with him. And my buddy, his name was called. And there was an attorney that told him he would answer for him. Jay had told him, he said, I can't pay you. I don't have anything to pay. God said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And I mean, when they called his name, I felt my neck. I felt my heart in my neck beating. And I thought, oh no. And that attorney stood up and he said, Judge, I represent him and I'll speak to you. And I'm telling you, that judge, that moments before had just told a woman, I'm going to put you in jail tonight. She smiled at that attorney and she said, that's fine. That'll be fine. Okay, next. And I thought, Almighty God is jealous. He revengeth. He's furious. He's going to take vengeance on his adversary. He reserves wrath for his enemies, slow to anger, but he will not at all acquit the wicked. Has his way in the whirlwind. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry and dries up the river. And the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Almighty good. Almighty God is good. Goodness is his character. Now let me tell you something. You see this jealousy? It's good jealousy. It's right. It's perfect. God Almighty is good. But to his people, he is good in mercy. He is good in compassion. And his goodness gives us some hope in the midst of trials. David said in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted. Well, you say, I would have quit. I'd have quit. I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Until Almighty God called us out of darkness, we didn't even know. We didn't know anything. We didn't know that. We didn't even know the depth. We still don't know the depth of our rebellion. But we had no idea. Didn't care. But now that he's given us some hope, given us light, given us a new heart, taught us something of himself, something of ourselves. David said, I'd quit unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Nahum, that burden that he had for Nineveh. Going to preach to a people that God Almighty is going to judge. And the Lord teaches him something of his goodness. Almighty God for his people overrules evil for the good of his elect. All things work together for good. For good. To them that love God. To them who are the called. According to his purpose. He afflicts his people in chastening mercy. Why? Because he loves them. Because he loves them. You know why you're going through. You know why I'm going through. You know why any of us go through what we go through. Those that know him, that he knows in mercy, you know why? Love. Whom the Lord loveth. The Lord is good. And his goodness never changes because he never changes. The Lord is good. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The Lord is good. That which he does is good. That which he does is right. And he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. That day, that day right there means that it's a certain amount of time. It's going to end. It's just a day. This life is just a vapor. And the day of our trouble is this life that we're in right now. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? We're going to leave this world. One of these days, we're going to leave this world. But I'm telling you right now, our stronghold in the day of our trouble is the Lord, who is good. We've been put by the power and grace of God in the cleft of the rock. And I'll tell you this, if He doesn't release us from the trial, Paul the Apostle, a messenger of Satan was given him, and what the Scripture says, he said, I besought the Lord thrice to remove it, and here was the answer, my grace is sufficient. Why? Because the Lord is good. If He doesn't release us, He'll sustain us and comfort us in the midst of that trial. And lastly, He knoweth them that trust in Him. Let me ask you this. Is His Word, is this gospel, is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, He that has put away the sin of His people, is His faithfulness, is His work, I finished the work that Thou gavest me to do, is His finished work, is Christ enough? Then you trust Him. And the Lord knows. Do you believe? And I know, dear friends, I know. Oh, how we struggle. We struggle with this. What I'm about to say, we struggle with it. I know we do. But we still believe it. Those that know Him believe it. Do you truly believe that He will never leave you and never forsake you? Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. I believe that. The Lord knows them that trust in Him. Do you truly trust that sin has been put away by the blood? Be of good cheer. The Lord knoweth them that trust Him. The Lord knoweth, and this is a sweet definition in closing, knoweth. It's not just that He's just aware. It means to observe, to care, and to recognize who you are in Christ, because He put you there. He knoweth. He knoweth them that trust in Him, as opposed to those that will stand before Him in that day, claiming all of their merits. Lord, we prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did mighty work. I never knew You. The Lord knoweth them that trust in Him. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.